Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
To ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we especially like that. George Priest is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, professor of law and economics at Yale Law School. He is, how I found George is through an article that he wrote. And it was published in the Wall Street Journal on antitrust. And as you know, if you've been listening to my show for very long, you know that antitrust is one of the things that interests me, because it gives you a view into the attitude of the current administration, primarily about their attitude on business and on free enterprise and where the real problems are. And the real challenges are in managing monopolies and the administration's attitude about companies that are growing and expanding and are adding value to the marketplace. And when those large companies are adding value and when they're actually, you know, being a little bit of a bully. And so George is knows about these things, and he's here to talk to us about it right now. George Priest, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim.
And George, I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of your background. I'm assuming it's Dr. Priest.
No. I went to law. I don't use the term doctor. I went to law school, studied a lot of economics. I've been a teacher all my career.
So you work for a living. You're not a doctor, right?
No, I'm not.
That's good. So this antitrust thing, my audience knows, if they've been listening to my show for very long, I covered the Microsoft case, the US v. Microsoft case, back in the late 90s, early 80s, I mean, I'm sorry, early part of this century, this decade, where the Clinton Justice Department, the Antitrust Division of the Justice Department, took Microsoft to court and accused them of being a monopoly and primarily it was over the bundling, as I remember, George, it was over the bundling of the browser in their operating system, wasn't it?
Yes, that was a central count against Microsoft. Yes,
and the truth is I never felt like the government had a case, because the complainants were all competitors. There were no customers, none of their users were complaining. The complainants were all competitors, and that's something I wanted to ask you about is who is the prime a customer, so to speak, of antitrust, or complainant? Should a competitor be allowed to do this, or
no,
should it just be customers?
That's a very good question. No, not at all. The antitrust laws are designed to protect consumers and to make markets competitive in order that consumers have the best products at the lowest prices. Now, when you have a competitor complaining about a company's practices, that usually means that they're being outcompeted.
But when
a competitor complains, that's a reason to ignore the complaint.
But I'm correct, right? I mean, that's where all the noise was coming from, the competitors.
Yes, that's exactly right. Remember, it still happens in antitrust.
Right. And so, now, one of the things that I pointed out back in those days, and that I predicted back in those days, because this case went on for several years, was that in the 21st century, technology, I predicted that technology would render many antitrust cases irrelevant and moot, because by the time the case was actually processed and prosecuted, by the time it was actually finished, technological innovations would make the original problem not even be competitive anymore. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's definitely right. You're definitely right about that.
And that's kind of what happened with Microsoft, wasn't it?
It is. It certainly is. That is, I think the Justice Department suit, which went on really for over a decade, had no real effect on the market whatsoever, except a negative effect, because it increased litigation costs And the government spent a lot of its own money on the case, so that it had no effect whatsoever.
Well, one of the great ironies, though, was that probably most of the attorneys on the State Department side, on the government side, and really on both sides, and probably all of the journalists covering the deal, were doing their work on computers that were operating with Microsoft software.
That's a good point. Yeah, without Microsoft, they couldn't have covered the case and they couldn't have brought the suit. That's a good point.
So talk now, and of course later on, Microsoft was taken to court in Europe, and took another hit over there. And folks, my position was not to be a defendant of Microsoft. I'm defending the free enterprise system. When we come back, I want to get George to talk to us about the differences between how the United States looks at antitrust and how Europe looks at antitrust. And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. Thanks for checking it out and going back there and all the different things that you can do there. Don't forget, you can ask a question. You can check out my blog. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, read an article, listen to an interview that we've done with our Brain Trust members, like our newest member, George Priest, is with us. George is professor of law and economics at Yale Law School, and George is he wrote an article that was published on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal recently, and I saw it and wanted to get him on to talk about this antitrust thing. George, take a second before we get into any of the details of any of these antitrust cases. Take a second and tell the audience why you and I feel that discussing antitrust with the mainstream Americans, with small business owners, why is antitrust policy important to small businesses?
Well, it's important to small businesses, and it's important to all citizens and consumers in the country, because the objective of antitrust law is to make markets competitive so that consumers get the best products at the lowest prices. Now, this is good for small business because small business oftentimes is in the best position to provide the lowest prices and the most effective products. So it's an important set of policies in this country.
Well, and the thing is, I'm not saying that there's no place for antitrust. Left to their own devices, corporations may tend to do something that they're not supposed to. Without the appropriate checks and balances, corporations, you know, may misbehave. In fact, there were plenty of cases, George, as you know, in the Microsoft case, the US v. Microsoft, there were plenty of examples of where it was demonstrated that Microsoft was ham-fisted, that they were, you know, they had a tin ear to reality, and they did some things that they shouldn't have done.
Well, that's what the court found. Yes, that's
true. Yeah. But in the process, they created a lot of inefficiencies. They created a lot of problems for Microsoft, and
the government did.
The government, exactly. The government.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you think that some people who were operating businesses in those days, who were trying to grow their business to be, you know, hoping, you know, where Microsoft was their hero, they wanted to grow their business, they wanted to work hard and take risks, do you think that kind of treatment of Microsoft impacted some of those guys?
It might have, although I think the ultimate effect, except on the litigation costs that Microsoft had to suffer, the ultimate effect was pretty small. That is, Microsoft and its creation of Windows and the various applications was all to the good for small business. There weren't small businesses competing with Microsoft.
Right.
There was only large businesses who were complaining to the Justice Department that Microsoft's doing too well.
Right. Talk to us about your coverage of the Attorney General for Antitrust, Christine Varney, who's the administration's lead person on this. She's been making some observations about antitrust recently, and you've been talking about that. Tell us about that.
Well, she has been appointed by the president to direct antitrust efforts in this country, and she issued an announcement a few weeks ago in which she said, Well, we want to reject entirely everything that's gone before and set on a new course, much like the course in Europe. So she's trying to define for the administration, I don't think the president knows anything about this, but she's trying to define for the administration a new direction, and the direction she's pursuing is to more lead our country to more, our country's policies to more closely resemble those of Europe, which I think is a very bad mistake.
What's the attraction?
I don't know.
For her.
It's a good question. I guess the attraction is it's going to be something different. You know, the Obama administration wants to be different than its predecessor, but she's not only announcing policies different from the Bush administration, but different from the course of antitrust law in the U.S. over the last 30 years.
Right. This is not about the antitrust. Is not just about the. I mean, each administration has its own flavor of antitrust, but it's a broader. They should be taking a broader view than just the last 8 years, shouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I can't even identify what the flavor of the Bush administration was.
Yeah.
They didn't do. There wasn't a lot new in the Bush administration involving.
Well, it was pretty laissez-faire, wasn't it?
No, not really. They brought cases. One fact that has developed over the years, over the last 30 years in the antitrust field in the United States, is that once you have a basic set of prohibitions in place, on price fixing and on market division and on a few other practices. Markets are pretty competitive, and they're more competitive in the United States than they are in any other country of the world. So, it doesn't. Once you have the basic rules in place and everybody knows the rules and obeys the rules, you don't need to have a lot of litigation in order to keep things going. That is something that's different, however, from what Ms. Varney for the Obama administration has announced.
What is she like about the European? What is the difference between how Europe looks at antitrust and how the U.S. looks at antitrust?
Well, there's a big difference. First of all, Europe has never had. Well, it's starting to get this, but it never has had serious economic analysis adopted in this field. They're starting. In fact, a few years ago.
What do you mean by economic analysis?
The analysis of how markets work.
Yeah,
and what makes markets effective? That's part of economic science, and one of the great advantages of the or achievements of the U.S. is to bring serious economic analysis.
How else can you evaluate an economy through a socialistic approach, or?
Well, it ends up being a socialistic approach. It ends up being socialistic in the sense that the government tries to tell business what to do, and tries to dictate what the markets
are. As opposed to the financial analysis.
As opposed to letting firms compete and seeing what comes out, who's the best competitor.
Hold on to that thought. George Priest, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're going to sort this U.S.-Europe thing out just a little bit more after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this ultimately trickles down the hill to you and me and our small businesses. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's a little Booker T and the MGs bringing us back. A little shotgun. By the way, folks, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame, twitter.com/Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with our new friend, a longtime friend, George Priest. Now that we found him, we're going to keep referring back to him from time to time on antitrust issues. Folks, the reason why, I know some of you might be saying, what's antitrust have to do with small business? Folks, antitrust, the inappropriate, the overzealous pursuit of antitrust issues is an assault on entrepreneurship. George, what do you think about that statement?
I agree with you entirely.
And so this is why, folks, you know how dedicated I am to your ability to be entrepreneurial, to grow your business to whatever size you want it to be, to take it public, make it a global enterprise, or not, whatever you want. But George, we can't, small businesses can't be disinterested in the prosecution of frivolous antitrust cases.
No, they can't. It affects them in two ways. One, frivolous antitrust cases increases costs of operation. But secondly, the impulse to prosecute in antitrust is very similar to the impulse to tax and to increase taxes generally.
And to regulate. Or to over-regulate, I should say.
To over-regulate.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, you and I aren't an enemy of regulation. We're against over-regulation. So let's get back to this thing. it troubles me when anybody in America desires to look like Europe. You know, if we ever wanted to see, if we wanted to see a movie for how the experiment that some people are trying right now will turn out, just go watch Europe. On healthcare, on social structures, on education, and now we're talking antitrust. They're not an example. The Europeans wish they were as entrepreneurial as we are, and one of the reasons why they're not is because of their attitude about antitrust, George.
Well, I would say the European business people wish they were more like us.
Yeah.
The European politicians don't.
So just get back to Miss Varney's desire to, and she states this, right? She thinks that U.S. antitrust should be more like Europe.
She said that expressly, yes, sir.
Yeah. And so what is it she likes? Tell us again, explain to us the difference.
Well, the principal difference is similar to the difference in the economic structure of the relative countries. Yeah. Europe is much more domineering over business and how it operates.
The governments are.
These are central economies. They're socialist economies, basically, mm-hmm. and so they have a kind of socialist antitrust policy, which, it's inconceivable to me why Ms. Varney or any American would want such a policy.
Well, do you see other elements of our government moving toward this, not just the antitrust division?
Well, I think, yes, I think we have to be very concerned about the bailout and the restructuring of the financial services industry. Again, obviously there have been serious problems there, and there has to be a greater concern over how these companies, how these banks and securities companies are operating. But again, we don't want government running the banks. We certainly don't want government
right.
running the auto industry, but that's the direction we're heading. So, I'm very concerned about it.
Well, so when you hear someone like Ms. Varney talk about wanting Christine Varney is her name. She's Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust in the Justice Department. When you hear Ms. Varney say we want antitrust in America to be more like Europe's antitrust, you know that really is brings on a lot more. It means a lot more than just what the words say, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does and it doesn't. That is, it suggests. I mean, she hasn't done anything about it yet.
Right.
It suggests it's going to be much more of a socialistic approach toward antitrust coming from the Justice Department. On the other hand, unlike in Europe, the antitrust chief can actually set fines. So the antitrust chief is both the judge and jury,
yeah,
as well as the prosecutor. That isn't true here in the United States. So Ms. Varney's going to have to go before the courts. And the Supreme Court is pretty clear has been pretty clear on defining what competitive what the appropriate rules for competition are, which are not the rules she's looking for. So
now this is another reason to appreciate the genius that our founders established in our country of checks and balances.
I agree with you.
And whenever we're talking about balances on the court, balances in Congress, and et cetera, it's good to have these balances, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's
yeah.
good to have an independent judiciary that is not influenced by politics.
Absolutely. George, you have a website you want to give us?
No, I really don't. I just teach at Yale. I'm just a teacher.
All right, we like the way you teach, George. Will you come back another day?
Sure, happy to, Jim.
I've enjoyed having you here. George
yeah.
Priest, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.